Yeah, I want to just tell you this morning, I'm really, really excited to start this new series with all of you that are here and even those of you that will watch later online as we start this new series, How to Be Rich. And this series, honestly, is one that's had a profound impact on me as I've prepared for it and studied it. Also, and I have heard this spoken about in my past, and it really changed my life in many ways. So I'm really excited. And as we get started today, I want to ask all of you a question this morning. This is one I'd like for you just to interact a little bit with me by raising your hand if this is true of you. But here's the question I have for you. How many of you know of at least one person in your life? This could be a family member, it could be a boss, could be someone you work with, someone you work for, could be just a distant relative or even a friend of a friend that you would classify as being rich. How many of you in here know someone you would think you would say is rich or wealthy? All right. Yeah. Yeah. You had to think a little bit, but most of us would say, yeah. Well, I want for you, just for the sake of just imagining this conversation with me, I want for you, maybe some of you'll do this, but for you to consider with me, what would it be like if you invited that rich person to go to lunch or to go to coffee with you? And when you take them to lunch or to coffee and you kind of have your small talk and just warming up talk and talking about sports and, you know, whatever you want, shopping for all the girls, whatever. And you kind of get on the same page, for you to pose two questions to this rich person that you know. The first question I would like for you to consider posing to them would be this. How does one become rich? How does one get rich? And likely, if you were to pose this question to this person that you know that's wealthy and has resources and runs in groups of people who have money and resources, this person would probably just sit back and say, well, take some notes. And they'd probably start with this. You need a little luck along the way, right? They would then say a good starting point, a good foundational point would be that you spend less than you make. Imagine that, right? Then they would say you need to start investing early and investing in your 401ks or in your mutual funds and Roth IRAs, those types of things. Start investing early. You would then need a money coach, someone to help you on how you make your decisions financially and what you do with your money, how to invest your money. Possibly continue through additional reading like Rich Dad, Poor Dad and some other resources like that. Go to conferences. But these would be the tips likely this person would make. So as you're sitting there and you're feverishly writing down the notes, going, okay, check, check, okay, yeah, spend less than I make. Wow, I need to start doing that, right? Then you would move on. And the second question that I would say that you need to ask them is this. How does it feel to be rich? How does it feel? I mean, what's it like, right, to be rich? And my bet is that this is when that person, whoever this is, would sit back and cross their arms and go, whoa. I'm not rich. I'm not rich. Now, and if this is a lady, she would probably say something like this. If she's married and has kids, she'd say, no, hold on. You know my husband and all these toys he likes, right? How many things I'm having to pay for? His boats, his ball games, right? For him to go and play poker with the boys, for him to go out and have fun. You know, I mean, you know who I'm married to, so I'm not rich. I mean, I've got all these things I have to support for him. Or they would go on, if this is a guy, he'd say, you know, my wife likes to shop, right? I mean, she really, really enjoys shopping. And so I'm not rich, I mean, because I have to support this shopping habit and we're trying to get that under control. Or, you know, I mean, you would possibly go there or you would say, look at my kids. You know, in my case, it's like, I got five of them suckers, you know. I mean, that's a lot of mouths to feed. That's a lot of food. Or they would go on to say, you know, I've got a mortgage. I've got car notes. I've got student loans. I'm paying school. I mean, I've got all this stuff. I'm not rich. And as they would say these things, you would sit there and you crack a little tear for them. But here's what you would be thinking. Oh, come on. You're rich. Admit it. You are rich. You've got money. You need to admit this. You're rich. But all the while, what they would say is, no, I'm not rich. Rich is like that guy or rich is like that girl. I'm not rich. I'm doing okay, but I'm not rich. But I want to tell you something about your friends and my friends or the people we know of that are rich but don't want to admit they're rich, is that they're actually in good company. There's an organization called UBS Financial Services, and you can go and research this. They did this survey this year. UBS Financial Services is a very, very reputable group that works with investors with lots and lots of moolah, okay? And so they decided this year they wanted to go out, and they wanted to survey and speak to people that have lots of money and find out from them, what does rich look like? So they surveyed around 2,000 investors, people with lots of money. And get this, 60% of these individuals, these investors who handle lots of money and have lots of money themselves, said that rich is this, that you have a total net worth of $5 million. Now, I didn't stutter, okay? $5 million, but hold on, with $1 million of liquid out of that $5 million. So $5 million with $1 million of liquid with cash that you can go to your bank account and just get that money as soon as you want it, that is rich. Now keep in mind, 40% of these people didn't agree with that number. 40% said, no, it could be $6 million with $2 million in cash or $8 million with... They didn't agree. But 60% said that, and then these 40% didn't. And then the other 28%, there were 28% of the people who responded, and this was pretty funny, they said that if you have between $1 million and $5 million, you're just well off. Don't you feel sorry for them? Those poor people. $1 million to $5 million, you're just well off. You're not rich, you're just well off. So when you think about your friends, and I don't know who your friends are. I don't know if you're really good and close friends with Fred Smith or someone like that. I mean, we're talking about a different category there. But for most of us in this room, when you start thinking about the people you think are rich, they're not probably with $5 million in total assets and $1 million of cash in the bank. So you can understand if these folks don't think they're rich, then surely your friends or these bosses or whoever you know don't think that they're rich. All the while, we're sitting here and we're thinking, oh, I feel really, really sorry for you. But here's what they think deep down. Is rich is more than what I have. For me to be rich, for me to feel rich, I need more than what I have. Now, here's a problem. Here's a problem. A little shy 2,000 years ago, a guy by the name of Paul had a crazy conversion experience, became a follower of Jesus, wrote most of what we call the New Testament today, lots of letters written to pastors and letters written to churches. He actually wrote to his understudy, his protege, if you will, Timothy. And he wrote to him, and the first words of this sentence that he threw at Timothy is really problematic, probably for Timothy in his day and also for our day. But let me put these words on the screen for you. Here's what he said in the first verse of 17, first part. As for the rich in this present age. So what Paul says is this. Hey, Timothy, I have some words, I have some instruction, I have some encouragement for the rich people of today. Now, likely, in Timothy's day, the people he was leading, the people he was pastoring, the people he was talking to him about Jesus, what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus, they too struggled with what was rich. There were a lot of people then that probably didn't feel like they were rich, just like today, there are a lot of people today who don't feel like they're rich. Y'all with me? And so when Paul wrote this, he said, as for the rich in this present age, there's a few things that I want to tell you. And so the problem today is that rich people don't think they're rich. The problem in Paul's day, in Timothy's day, was probably the same thing, because rich is always that next category. But let me share a story with you. A number of years ago, Bill Gates, anybody heard of Bill Gates? Okay. Bill Gates, richest man on the globe, on the earth. He went to India. And when he went to India, he went to one of the most remote areas of India with a journalist and with a translator. And he paid a visit to a really, really poor lady in her, you could call it a house, but it was more like a shack or a hut. And he went and he paid a visit with her. He hung out with her. He spoke to her through the translator. The journalist, of course, is there just documenting everything and listening to everything that's said. And then Bill Gates wished her well and walked out the door or the hole in the wall, and he left. And after he left, the journalist, through the translator, looked at this lady and said, do you realize who that was just in your house? Do you realize that that was the richest man, the richest person on earth who was just in your home? Isn't that amazing? And without hesitation, this little poor lady looked back at this journalist, and through the translator, she responded, everyone who visits from the West is rich. Everyone who visits from the West is rich. So in other words, here's what she was saying. If you would have been the next person to walk in behind Bill Gates and would have walked into her little house, and if you would have sat down with her, with that journalist, with that translator, and you would have walked out, she would have said, you're rich. You're rich. I'm rich. You see, rich is rich. It doesn't really matter. Because in her mind, in her heart, the way she looks at all of us, the way she looks at the globe around her is, you too are rich. Now, how does that make you feel? Didn't you come to River City Church this morning for me to inspire you by sharing with you, celebrate, congratulations, you are stinking rich. Anyone here excited now? No, not at all. You're like, yeah, Jonathan, come on. One little lady, poor lady in India in the middle of nowhere who I'll never meet, saying that all of us are rich doesn't make me feel rich whatsoever. And honestly, some of you, you may be going, yeah, come on, dude. You got to do better than that. Okay, I will. Here's what I want to do. There's actually on the internet at globalrichlist.org, there is a site that you can go on and you can assess where you stack up in the world as far as your wealth is concerned by income or by just your total assets, everything that you own. And so for the sake of just trying to roll this out here this morning and to help all of us in this room get really pumped and really excited about how rich you are, I want to give you just a couple of quick examples. Are y'all game for this? All right, on this website, you can go to the next slide. You fill this in, and we're going to go with $20,000 net income a year. Now, if you're in the crowd and you bring in around $1,667 per month, like that's the money enters your bank account, goes through your debit card, goes through your checkbook, goes through your bank, you know, any of that, through your fingers. If you make this amount, $20,000 a year, $1,667 a month, let's see how you stack up in the world. You're in the top 4%, richest person or people in the world. Can y'all see that? Top 4%. Now, that is awesome, right? I mean, that's a party right there waiting to happen. I mean, you're in the top in this room, right? And my bet is the majority of you in here, the majority of you probably net around $1,600 or so a month. Some of you less, some of you more. Combined incomes, doesn't matter. You're in the top 4% in the world as far as the richest people on planet Earth. Now, let's look at this little next slide. Now, this is very, very intriguing. If a laborer in Ghana were to try to make in 1 year, or what you make in 1 year, it would take them 125 years to make what you make in 1 year if you make a net of $20,000 a year. 125 years to make what you make in one calendar year. So are you rich? You're stinking rich. Let's look at another one. For those of you that make a little bit more than that, if you net $50,000 a year, went kind of just sliced it in the middle. The number for that amount per month, if you're wondering, is $4,167 a month net that goes through your bank account. If that's where you're at, you stack up at 0.31% in the world. You're in the top 1% of income earners and the richest people on planet Earth. If you make $4,167 that runs through your bank account in a month, you're in the top 1% in the world. Let's look at this little stat, this next stat. If someone in India is measured up against what you make, they make 39 cents per hour while you make 26.04 per hour in your work. Now, just a question. Who in here is rich? Let me see a show of hands. And if you're not going to raise it, shame on you, right? I'm just kidding. I'm not trying to put shame on you. We're rich, guys. Congratulations, you, myself, we're rich. Very, very rich. Now, the problem is, here's the problem, is that you don't feel rich, do you? I don't feel rich. Very few of us probably feel rich. Because when we start talking about rich, they've actually gone out and surveyed people that make less than $30,000 a year. And they said, hey, what is rich? I mean, what would you have to make in your income for you to be rich? People under $30,000 say, $74,000 a year. Now, out of those of you in here that make $74,000 a year, and you don't have to raise your hand, we don't need to do that, but are you rich? Heck no. You don't think you're rich, but you can also remember a day when you were probably at that less than $30,000 and you thought about people making $70,000, and you say, when I get to $70,000 a year, or whatever the number that was, I'm going to bathe in money, I'm going to burn money, I'm going to have so much money, I don't even know what to do with it. Isn't that true? You used to think that way. And then as you climb up the income ladder, then you get to that number, whatever it is, and you go, my gosh, that's not rich. Rich is this. People between $40,000 and $50,000 a year, they ask them, okay, what's rich? What do they say? $100,000 a year. People at $100,000 a year, is that rich? No, that's not rich. I mean, I got a mortgage. I've got all these debts. I've got, no, it's this number. And on and on and on. See, the problem is, it's not that we're not rich. The problem is we don't feel rich. We don't feel it. So when you don't feel rich, you don't act rich. And when you don't feel rich and when you don't believe that you're rich, then the things that God says in Scripture and what Paul thought was so, so important for us to understand about being rich, then we're not going to know how to be rich. Why? Because we don't feel rich. You know, to the rest of the world, when they look at us, they say, you're rich. And here's why they say you're rich. You have so much extra food after you're done eating that you just throw it away. Whereas for them, they don't even have any food. You have clean drinking water that you can get, that you flush, for crying out loud. We have cars that we drive around in while these folks have to walk everywhere. We have houses that we live in with central heating and air conditioning. And for these folks, they've never even seen that in their lives. We have little houses for our cars that we call garages. Whereas a lot of these people don't even have a house for their own protection. And I could go on and on and on. The truth of the matter, guys, this morning is there needs to be a shift in our thinking as Christ followers from I want to get rich to I am rich. I want to get rich to I am rich. That has to happen, because until that happens in your heart and in mind, the things that God says to rich people, and clearly Paul says the rich in this present age, they need to know some things. They need to do some things. There's a way to be rich that's to do it in the right way. We will never start being rich the way God wants us to until we recognize and we shift from I want to get rich to praise God, I am rich. Now, with that said this morning, here's what I want to do. I want to pick up where I left off. Now that we're all in agreement that we're rich, you have more than you need, you're rich. You have more than you need, you're rich. And I want us to look at what Paul says in the rest of this verse. And before we go there, let me give you a little background about Paul. Paul was a Pharisee. He was absolutely highly educated, had some good situations given the family he grew up in with his dad and his mom, and that situation being Greek and also being Jewish. So Paul had some really cool things. Paul was highly educated, highly trained, and Paul had some money. In his day, Paul was rich. But when Paul became a Christ follower, Paul lost everything. He lost everything. So when Paul's writing this about rich people, Paul was one of those that says, hey, I was formerly rich. I know what it's like to be rich. There are certain temptations, certain struggles, certain things that us rich people, we have that poor people don't have. And so from that perspective, I want to teach you, I want to talk to you about some things that God has shown me, that God wants you to know about how to be rich the way God wants you to. And so with that, Paul says this in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. He says, as for the rich in this present age, charge them, or tell them, Timothy, not to be, what's that word? Haughty. Your translation that you're reading with me may say arrogant. Not to be haughty, not to be arrogant. Isn't it true about some of the rich people you've seen or you know that they think their you know what doesn't stink? Anybody else in here? Now how does that make you feel when you see people who are haughty and arrogant? You're like, whatever, man, just because you got this and that, you're not better. But see, Paul knew that rich people, including us in this room, that we start becoming a little prideful, a little haughty, a little arrogant about what we have as our collection and as our wealth continues to increase. And let me just tell you how this works typically. There are places now that you will not go to eat, and places you will not live in, and cars you will not drive, and places you will not shop today that you would have years ago. That you now, and I struggle as well with this, is that we start getting into this entitlement mentality that we're kind of past that. That's what Paul's talking about. Paul's saying, as you have continued to grow in your income, as you continue to get more, what is very, very tempting for people that are rich to do is for us to start saying, I'm past that, I'm now at another level, and this stuff is behind me or beneath me. It's very, very, very subtle, but it happens. And Paul says, don't be haughty. Don't be arrogant. Now, here's the truth of the matter. James, the half-brother of Jesus, when he wrote his letter, it's called James in the Bible. If you want to look for it, it's pretty easy to spot. He actually, in one sentence that he wrote, he said this, all good and perfect gifts come from above. All good and perfect gifts comes from above. They come from God. And so what James was saying is, and what Paul's saying here is it actually, just even rationally and logically when you think through it, it makes no sense whatsoever for someone to get haughty and arrogant about what they have and stick their chest out and think they're entitled to this, think they're past that, think that they're better than others, because it's all a gift from God. Does it really make sense to be haughty and arrogant about something that's been given to you? Not at all. But you know why we get haughty and arrogant? Because for some reason, we start thinking, I did this. I earned this. I'm my own self-made man. I'm my own self-made woman, you might say. And because of what you have done, because of what you've acquired, and because you start believing the hype and reading your own newspaper clippings, right, about how good you are, then you start getting haughty and arrogant. And Paul says, no, don't do that, because everything that you have is ultimately a gift from God. Don't do that. How many of you have ever been driving and pulled up to a stop sign or a red light, and then a car pulls up beside you, and you look over to your left or to your right, and you see some, and no offense to any of the students that are here today, but you see like a 16-year-old kid or student, 17-year-olds, driving a pimped-out Beamer or sports car or Lexus or SUV. How many of you have ever seen that before? And man, they look so cool, don't they? I mean, they got the shades on, rocking the music, got the hair looking great, and all this, and they're just sitting there, you know, doing this deal. And you look over at them, and you're going, that's your daddy's car, right? That's your daddy's car. Isn't that true? What Paul's saying is, here we all are on planet Earth, and everything that we have is only for a short period of time in this life that God has given us as a gift. And a lot of us are, if you will, pimping around in our rides and what we have, looking all cool and thinking we're all that, having a little swagger, right? And God's looking down at us going, seriously? That's mine. I just loaned it to you for a short period of time. Don't be haughty. Be thankful. Be thankful. See, that's another thing that needs to change in the minds of believers with everything we have, is to look at it and not say, that's mine, I've earned it, I've done it, I've done all this. Because truth of the matter is, you didn't pick who your parents were, you didn't pick what country you're born in, you didn't pick a lot of things. You're very, very blessed, okay? God did all that. And take everything you have, and instead of being haughty and arrogant about it, we need to look at it, and just in this season we're in with Thanksgiving, look to God and say, God, thank you, Dad. Thank you for everything that you've blessed me with. You know, another thing that's interesting is, as you start accumulating more wealth, you think your IQ goes up with it. It doesn't, guys. It really doesn't. I've made some of the most boneheaded moves, the more money I've made in my past career, and probably some of you in here would attest to the same. You start getting get-rich-quick schemes. We've all done it. But what Paul's saying is, don't be haughty or arrogant. Recognize it's all from your Heavenly Father, and be thankful. Now let's look at how he finishes up. He says, nor to set their hopes. So don't be arrogant and don't set your hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but instead of that, on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Paul says, you have a choice. You have an option in this life to set your hopes on the uncertainty of riches, or to set your hopes on God, who richly provides everything to enjoy. Those are your options. Now, the thing that's very fascinating is that Jesus, when you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, however you want to read them, and you read what he spoke about a lot, what did he speak about often? Money. Money. Something you hate for me to speak about. I get it. They didn't like hearing Jesus speak about it either. But Jesus spoke more about money than he did about heaven or hell combined. Go check it out. He spoke more about money than just about anything that the Gospel writers documented. Why? Because Jesus said that money is the number one competitor for your hope and for your trust against God. That's what Jesus said. Paul here is saying the same thing. Don't lean into, don't trust in the uncertainty of riches, but trust and lean into the one who richly provides us with all things to enjoy. That's what Paul says. Now, here's the deal. What I've experienced in my life, and just with other people around me that I know, is that the struggle for me has always been, when I want to lean into money or lean into riches, it's usually for three primary reasons. One for pleasure, one for power, and one for security. Pleasure, power, and security. See, the way that money kind of draws me is that in one case, I want enough of it to where I feel secure and stable. And there are probably some of you in here who can identify with that. True? The other way that money pulls me is that I can think of a lot of fun things that I could do with it. Am I right? I mean, the pleasure side of it. Vacations and all those types of things pulls at me. And then money also pulls at me from a power standpoint. And the best way I know to describe that is it's ego. It just feeds the ego. Like, if I can earn this much money or get this much money, then Jonathan must be, in my identity, I'm better. Are y'all with me? And so this is what money does. This is the temptation of money, is to pull us to put our hope and our trust in riches. But Paul says, no, 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 don't do that. Lean and trust in God. Let me ask you a quick question. Who controls your future? God or money? Who controls your future? God or money? God. So then why in the world would you put your hope and put your trust in the uncertainty of riches? That is Paul's question. Why would you do that? Don't do that. But put your hope and your trust in God. Now let me run a couple of some questions past you. I actually stole these questions from a great teacher. His name's Andy Stanley. And Andy has a few questions that he said helped him understand and helps him even daily, practically, see which way he's leaning. Is he leaning into money and trusting that, or is he leaning into God? And the first question is really in the form of a statement, and which one of these statements causes the most anxiety in your soul? Okay, are you guys game for this? All right, so here's the statement. Which one causes the most anxiety? There is no God, or you have no money in the bank. There is no God, or you have no money in the bank. Now, let me just tell you how that works. If you're leaning into God, and I tell you, or the reality comes out for some way or another, and believe me, I don't worry about that. If that happened, there'd be no more churches, no more preachers. That'd be bad for business, right? But if there was no God, and you're leaning into God, then you would be like, oh, crud, I'm in trouble. True? But if you're leaning into God, and I tell you you have no money in the bank, you'd be like, it's okay, because I'm trusting in the one who provides for me. True? If you're leaning into money, and I tell you there is no God, you're like, I'm pretty straight over here, you know? Got my nest egg built up, got my retirement, however many years I've got left, I'm pretty cool, I'm good to go. But if you're leaning into money, I tell you there's no money in the bank, it's going to cause a little bit of indigestion, isn't it? You see, this is the best way for you to determine which way are you leaning. Who are you trusting in? What are you trusting in? Are you leaning into God or are you leaning into money? And I have to admit to you guys this morning that as I was working through this, I thought, my gosh, there are days, there are moments where that if I had the issue where you said, hey, Jonathan, there's a God, but there's no money in the bank, it would cause me some struggles. And it probably would cause you struggles. But what Paul is saying and what Scripture is saying is that in those moments, instead of trying to lean into money or get more money to feel secure, pleasure, or power, is then to go to God and lean into God. Here's another question for you. Does fear of not having enough money in the bank hinder you in your ability to give? Do you not give because you're afraid of the lack of money that may, what it may cost you in the bank? You see, it's a stat, and it's a proven stat, and it's a proven fact, that the more money you make, the less money you give. Our nation today, on the average, we give about 2% as Americans. In churches, the average is around 3% of our income is given away. And what they show is that the poorer people, or poor people who have less options and less money and less wealth, a lot of times, especially as Christ followers, you're trusting in God, you're leaning in God so much that you then give more sacrificially because God's all you have. But as you start getting zeros behind those checks, as you get zeros behind that bank account, it gets far more difficult for you to write those checks to give and to give sacrificially. True? And so this is a big, big question for you. Does fear over not having enough impede or hinder you from giving the way that you know that God wants for you to give? This will tell you where you're leaning. Are you leaning into God or are you leaning into money? Lastly, do you have money in the bank but no peace in your heart? You have money in the bank, your 401k, your savings account, but you have no peace in the heart. Now, let me just speak very frankly with you. The way that I have experienced this before is, again, wanting security, wanting power, wanting pleasure, whatever your reason is that you'll continue to build the stack of cash over here in your accounts. But when it's just you and God, and you start thinking about life, and you start thinking about where you're at with God and all those things, there's no peace there. Sure, you've got money, but you have no peace. But on the other side, I've been to some foreign countries. I haven't been to many, But I have seen, and probably some of you have, if nothing else, through TV and through filmography. But what I have seen are little kids and even adults that have nothing. And they have peace in their hearts. I've seen little kids that have taken rags and made a ball with it and kick it as a soccer ball. They don't have anything, guys. But they have more peace in their hearts than some of us do. I've seen adults that are in other countries. They're doing everything they can just to feed their family, put food on the table. But man, they get in a church on a Sunday and they worship like you've never seen before. They have joy and peace in their hearts. So the question is, right, is what Paul is wanting for us to understand, and he really, really cares enough to write about this to rich people, is this. There is a way to be rich that is really, really bad and unhealthy. And there is a way to be rich that God wants for us to be rich. You know what's very cool about that last verse is he says, God who richly provides us with all things to, what was the last word, y'all remember? Enjoy. You see, God doesn't want for you to feel guilty. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty this morning. You're rich. That's awesome. Let's high five each other out on the way out the door. Let's be pumped about it, right? Don't feel guilty about that. Be grateful. There's a big, huge difference between we get all this wealth and all this stuff from our Heavenly Father and us taking it and being arrogant and haughty and think we're a self-made whatever and it's mine and I'm going to do with it what I want and getting that and handling it that way versus getting all this blessing from God, taking it to our God and being thankful and being grateful and being open-handed with it, saying, God, thank you. Thank you. I want to enjoy this with you. So here's what I want you to take away from our first talk today on this series. It's right now where you're at. How does this hit you? Where does this hit you? Are you struggling with arrogance and being haughty as it pertains to your money and your resources? If you are, recognize your God has given that to you. Don't feel guilty. I'm not wanting you to feel guilty. Be grateful. Have a conversation with God. Pray to God. You can do that right now. You can do that when you leave. You can do it with your spouse and just say, God, thank you for being so incredibly good to us. So move from haughtiness or arrogance to gratefulness. And then secondly, is that every day, guys, listen to me, every day, you're going to feel the pull to lean into the uncertainty of riches versus God. It is going to pull at you. It's going to make you nervous. It's going to put fear in your heart. And it's going to drive you and fuel you out of whichever lens, security, pleasure, or power, for you to go and get more and get more and get more and get more. And I want to tell you, as Paul's saying is, that is not the way to be rich. That is being rich in a bad, bad way. And honestly, it steals your joy. It doesn't lead you to trust your Heavenly Father. But every day, instead of doing that, it's for you to daily wake up and say, God, all I have is yours. I don't know if you're going to give me another day or 10 more years or 30 more years or however many more years. But God, within this time and what I have, I want to be rich the way you want me to be rich. It's yours.